Hello, my lovelies. I'm Jay, Aquarianite, and these are going to be your weekly messages. I think it's the weekly messages for the week of the 25th to the 31st, if I'm correct. Big week. I knew just from the way that my own personal day started. And just to let you know, so once the shuffling's done on the screen, if the cards look a bit disheveled or switched up, I just knocked the camera in between. So it's all happening here at this end. And the lighting's changed and stuff. We had a hailstorm that came in when I was pulling the cards. And now all of a sudden the sun's out and it's all very sunny and stuff. So the lighting will be different as well. Anyway, massive week. I'm not going to talk too much about the astrology. There's wonderful astrologers out there that will do that for you. But there is a very kind of definite message that is coming up within this. That first card that's come out is going beyond normal. What does that mean? It means normal for you. So I want to make something very clear, right? I've talked to a lot of people. I know this within myself. Whenever that Aries energy hits, right, it feels like we want to do something. Like we start focusing on physical reality. And I'm not saying don't do anything. In fact, you know, we'll get into that in a moment. But you can change anything in your life. You can change your job, your whatever. You can change anything right now. If you are the same person going into that, if you still look at things the same way, if you still justify them in the same way, it is not a change, right? It's not a change. It will still be the same thing, just with different dressing, different setting, different all of that. So because the first card that I pull out of the, you'll see it in a moment, the first card that comes out the tarot is the High Priestess. High Priestess I talked about extensively in that, the brilliance of the shadow, right? And this isn't about bringing the old stories. I mean, think about the last, I don't know, however many weeklies. What have they been about? Letting go of the past, learning from the past. You know, who are we? What have we done? Blast the past, all of this kind of stuff. Now that the dust is settling, now that the tower is in ruins and dropped, right? There's the High Priestess. Who is standing there? Who are you? So there's, first of all, there's that. That is the part to really like take the time with it at the moment. We're going to have Mercury retrograde. And you are not just one thing, but that means you don't also don't just do one thing. It's a different awareness that you bring, no matter what you bring. If you decide to not change a single thing in your life until Taurus season, right? Fair enough. There you go. See, the lighting's changed. But if you decide not to change a single thing in your life until Taurus season, it will still all be different because you are going to see it differently. I think it can be very dangerous. That's a massive word for today. Dangerous, right? And I don't mean, there's nothing wrong with being dangerous. One of my I ams this season is I am dangerous. But we balance that out with, you know, where I am the poison, I am also the antidote. We're both. We're always going to be both. It's a lunar eclipse in Libra. And so it's like, what are we overcompensating for? Why do we do this? Why do we think that's going to change anything? Like all of these things will come up. That's not a way to complicate things. That's not a way to restrict you or to make you doubt yourself. No, it's the opposite. It's to liberate you. It's to know I will always be both. I'm always going to be the poison in this situation and I'm going to be the antidote. I'm always going to be the one that has it completely wrong and I have never been more right. When you know you are both, you know that thing I keep saying, you don't have to justify anything this season. It's about releasing your justifications that you make for why you want to do something. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And I don't mean to others. I mean to yourself. Even when I read this card, it's going to talk about mainstream this and whatever, right? Mainstream is mainstream in your life. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about what is going on out there in the world or what you have to change out there in the world. It's your relationship to whatever. The relationship that you have to something has changed. And the reason I use the word dangerous about, you know, if you feel like that Aries urge to, oh, I'm going to get rid of my job, right? When we make physical changes, that's Earth. When we make physical changes of, all right, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop meditating 8 hours a day, or I'm going to start meditating 8 hours a day, whatever it is. There's this ease that comes in from having made a decision, right? It's this, we've got the lovers here, that's the illusion of a choice. We feel like we've done it, right? That's it, I've done it, I've changed, because you've changed something physical. So I would really recommend, like, check out that brilliance, integrating tools. Somebody did ask about it because I forgot that I mentioned it in the Capricorn reading. Someone asked this morning on the Discord server about that video. It's on Aquarian Insight Vanguard. If you haven't like subscribed to that, and I think there's only like 200 people or something that have subscribed to that channel, that's where I do all my talks. That's what I'm referring to on there. I do repost on Aquarian Insight if you're watching this on Odyssey. If you're listening as a podcast, everything gets posted together as the podcast. If you're watching on Rumble, Rumble, there's a different channel. The links are in the description of wherever you're watching or listening to this. But that's the part, is that, so if, say, for example, I'll give an example from my own life of one of my background stories that's always been there is because I was bullied, because I was whatever, right? When I was a kid, I've never wanted to be a bully, and I've shared this before. I've never wanted to be a bully. I've never wanted to hurt someone. I've never wanted someone to feel intimidated by me. And I can be in the throes of speaking my truth and really like feeling into my intuition and stuff and coming up with it. And if someone reacts in a way where they feel intimidated, right? Or any kind of hint that they feel aggressed upon or whatever, I'll back down. I will back down like immediately because I'm thinking, oh shit, I don't want to hurt this person, even though I'm not trying to hurt them, even though I'm not trying to offend them, and that's a relationship dynamic. Think about that. But that means I don't say things. That means I have a certain way of showing up. That means I don't share certain things, which means I'm not fully being who I am in that moment. And that it's Aries season, it's not Libra season, it's Aries season. When it comes to Libra season, I will figure out ways of how can I then navigate that if someone does feel that. But I overcompensate for that which I do not want to be. And what has changed for me is that I am that, I am that. I'm not saying that, well, yeah, then maybe I am saying that I will always be seen as a bully by someone. If someone likes to be spoken to in a certain way, if someone doesn't like to have triggering comments, if they get triggered by it, they don't know how to manage their internal reality or whatever the story is. Or even if they're the most spiritual person in the world, right? And they've ascended to whatever, and they look at me and they think, oh God, like she's just a little baby spiritual person, then they are 100% correct from their viewpoint. But it's not my job to view myself from someone else's viewpoint. It's not your job to view yourself from someone else's viewpoint. It's to know your own why. Why are you doing this? You have those tools, you have those resources. And this is not about more work on yourself. Like I've said that again and again, it's about doing things on the fly, exposing yourself to different things, going forward, shining your light, right? Seeing things with clarity, moving forward in however you move forward. But it's being bold and courageous and needing to feel balanced, needing the outside world to be under your control and the way that you like it, right? So it makes you feel good. That is a control dynamic. There is nothing bold or courageous or confident about that if everything is the way that you need it to be so you can be who you are. And we've looked at this plenty of times. I talked about this in the Aries cheat sheet as well. That permission, you do not need permission. The world is never going to be what you need it to be for you to begin. You begin so that it can be what it can be. That's that quote that I used to say all the time. It's from Angel. Is that, he talks about champions. I talk about warriors. We'll talk about Aries energy, who you are. We live as though the world is the way that it should be so that we can show it what it can be. If you can move forward knowing that this is what I truly believe the world needs more of, right, in my dynamic, in how I show up. If that's your background story, and you can say that I really truly believe that, if this has to exist, for it to exist everywhere, it has to exist somewhere, then that's the boldness. It takes courage to do that, because you will be looked at as if you're an idiot or a failure or doing something ridiculous, or that's so immature, like whatever the story is that comes up around that. Because we can only view things from our own viewpoint. And I will remind you of a story that I told a while back, as one of those old stories of the blind men and the elephant. Whatever you perceive in front of you, whatever your intuition says, and it might be totally different from mine, right? Is you are perceiving what you perceive as we're all blind. And so I might be describing the trunk of the elephant to you and saying, oh my God, it feels like this and it feels snake-like, right? And you're like, nah, you're at the tail end and saying, well, it feels like a rope to me. And somebody else says, what the hell are you guys talking about? You know, on the side of the elephant, I can feel a wall. It feels like a massive wall to me. None of us is wrong, but none of us has the entire truth. So if we can move forward knowing that this is not the entire truth, but it's necessary for all of us to know that we're dealing with an elephant. Every single one of us must share what we are feeling and see. We don't have to talk about it. You know, it's eerie season. That's how you move through the world. That's how you show up with others. That's your message. That's where you got surrender denial. And that need to convince one another or to justify it or to even be understood, like that, we must embrace that part too. If we're going to go forward and do things differently, we've got the Wheel of Fortune here, central in this reading. The Wheel of Fortune, yes, it's a second chance. Yes, it's the wheel has turned. Yes, it's fate and all of that wonderful stuff. But more importantly, it reminds you it's only a second chance if you do things differently. And you can have a second chance in that relationship, in that job, in that whatever. When we get to Taurus season, we're going to focus so much on the things that we are doing differently, you know, how we spend our time, what we like, what we want to eat, you know, all of that, the physical reality. How does this, you know, line up with my values, with what my worth is? Like it, you know, that then we understand that. Then we're realizing that that's Earth. Earth is really good at that. But if you know, if we don't do this part or understand that the relationship, our relationship with things has changed, our relationship with each other has changed, and it will be liberating, trust me. This is how you can do anything. You will be bold, you'll be courageous, you can do anything in your, and it won't even feel wrong. And you can have any reaction to it, and it will just be like, cool, that you're just pointing out what you see. That's excellent. It will not be a statement on you. It would be the most liberating experience that you can have if even that's where the sun comes up in the present. Knight of Swords, right? You take action based on your beliefs. You take action based on your truth. Let's read this Going Beyond Normal. And it says, on the path of life, there are deciding moments where we can choose to go with the mainstream. And I want you to really think that the mainstream here is the mainstream of your life, what you have always done, your reasons for why you do what you do. Well, we can choose to go with the mainstream, or we can dare to take a bolder, more authentic and trusting way, even if it seems riskier or less safe. To rely solely on logic and science without incorporating the mysterious and magical is a recipe for an existence that is far too dry. And even I read a science book, what was that book called? A General Theory of Love. They talk about it in that, you know, science without intuition, it's nothing. Right, you cannot have science without intuition. It's bland. It's you don't ever look for anything new. But intuition without logic as well, that we wouldn't make a plan, we wouldn't do anything. So we need both. In fact, let me see, hold on. This is the book that I'm talking about, A General Theory of Love. If you're on Discord, you know I've talked about this book many a time. I love this book, but I just want to read you this bit from it. It says, love emanates from the brain. The brain is physical, and I'm saying this because the lovers is here, right? The brain is physical and thus as fit a subject for scientific discourse as cucumbers or chemistry. But love unavoidably partakes of the personal and the subjective. So we cannot place it in the killing jar and pin its wings to cardboard as a lapidopterist might a prismatic butterfly. In spite of what science teaches, only a delicate admixture of evidence and intuition can yield the truest view of the emotional mind. To slip between the twin dangers of empty reductionism and baseless credulity, one must balance a respect for proof with a fondness for the unproven and the unprovable. There's no justification for that. Common sense must combine in equal measure imaginative flight and an aversion to orthodoxy. So that's kind of where we are, right, within our own situation of whatever's going on here. Where did I put this book? So let me continue this. Right, to rely solely on logic and science without incorporating the mysterious and magical is a recipe for an existence that is far too dry. The sacred rebel within our hearts will always choose a juicier approach to life. You are currently approaching such a choice point. You could say that the choice is about balance. Libra, lunar eclipse. It is less about choosing to honor either art or science, gardening or architecture, and more about integrating all approaches so that you enhance rather than hinder your life journey. Enhancing it, adding more to it, this and that, not this or that. Never has that been more true, guys. Placing science or architecture above all else kills off the rebellious heart. Steadfastly relying on logic, proof, and a complete set of plans, that's the justification, to measure and dictate outcomes will suffocate the soul. Basing decisions on limited factors with an imbalanced measure of success is unnecessarily limiting. This approach prevents us from living freely, spontaneously, and with trust, so that we can rebel against the need for things to go strictly according to plan. Choose to value decisions based on passion and instinct, and that's Aries, and trust in life enough to embrace it as an adventure and let it unfold as it will. There is a time and a place for logic, strategy, planning, and measurable outcomes. These are not bad tools to have, but we must be vigilant not to worship them or allow them to quash our less rational but equally valuable decision-making tools. Intuition, feelings, and those things you know without knowing how you know them. The following inspirational energy of the heart may have no conceivable basis in logic or reason and still be uncannily accurate. To remain rebellious, we must not sacrifice the art of emotion, instinct, passion, and intuition for the science of logic and strict planning. On the other hand, gardening and art do provide us with a plan, albeit more loosely held. This plan still requires us to set aside time, to draw upon reliable methods, and to prepare with certain tools. However, there is also a healthy dose of organic flow, responsiveness, and trust in the creative process of bringing something to life. This leads to the cultivation of the most beautiful, abundant, and successful garden and the most vivid, healing art. You are being asked to stay open to the intuitive approach in your life, your work, your creativity, as well as in your spiritual journey. The intuitive approach can be likened, and that's why the High Priestess comes up first, right? The intuitive approach can be likened to the method of a gardener or an artist. There is a sense of what might work, where, and a loose or even a detailed plan. But how the plan is carried out will depend on and respond to the flow of its surroundings. And that's what the Wheel of Fortune brings in. This is where fate is taken out of our hands. There is no need to control the situation, but rather a desire to nurture an idea to fruition. There's the sun, where we see potential. You may have pressures around you from the world or from your own conditioned nature to do things according to the rules, to a deadline, or to the accepted mainstream view that you need a well-thought-out plan for success in a commercial venture. However, sometimes the best plan is to do what feels intuitively truthful in the moment and to trust that you are being led towards your own growth. Adopting this approach means you have to do far less planning and far more living. It is a pure and heart-centered way to manifest your art, your life path, and your essence into practical expression in the world. It involves a willingness to be led by nature instead of trying to control the powerful force of life, which is a bit like trying to fit a proverbial ocean in a teacup. It's far more intelligent to allow the ocean to be the ocean and to learn to swim in it rather than trying to cram it into a vessel that is much too small. This oracle brings you a special piece of guidance. You are moving outside of the plan. You are living on the border of what is socially accepted. This is good. This is fringe-dwelling freedom. Others might not see this about you straight away as you seem pretty normal, but that secret eccentric streak is just waiting to show itself. And maybe you are an out and proud fringe dweller, completely comfortable with this way of being. Either way, this oracle brings you the message that you now have a chance to live from the heart more deeply and expressively than ever before. It wants you to realize that this is a legitimate, empowered, and creative way to live that honors all of who you are. You can give up forcing or squashing yourself down into a very limited set of so-called desirable qualities like intellect and control. If you are yet to relate to this consciously, this oracle brings you the further message that you are going to be breaking with tradition. And that's the other counterpart of the High Priestess, is the Hierophant. That is tradition. Where was I? Perhaps not entirely, but at least in a way that is meaningful to you. This will require you to have courage in your convictions and faith in your heart truths. And heart truths are the ones that cannot be justified. You don't know why, you just know it. You just know, that's the lovers. This will help you and inspire others around you to step out of fear and live more freely and lovingly. You are not necessarily meant to abandon logic and intellect altogether. You are to use them to serve the desires of the heart rather than to replace its naturally spontaneous and truthful nature with controlled planning and narrow strategy. It's time to get a bit wild and let nature take its course. And that's what Aries is, right? Your nature, your core nature. And here's the other part of this, surrender denial, right? So we've got this. It says, accept people and situations exactly as they are without denying the difficulties. Then you can see things clearly and make the best decisions. So being open to it all, knowing that it's both, that you will be seen as both. But what do you see yourself as? What are you focused on? What you focus on, that is what will grow. This is really not the time to be going outside in, guys. Like, be inspired by it. Everywhere you look, you will find yourself. High Priestess, everywhere you look. Look at the columns here of her, like the black and the white one. The truth lies in the middle. It is not this or that. It is not should I stay or should I go. It's why. Why would I stay? Why would I go? What am I trying to achieve here? What is the feeling that I want? And we've done this. These are in the past. We've got Chariot here, we've got the Lovers there, and we've got the bloody High Priestess. We're coming in with this energy. Now let's read the Oracle card. Sorry, not the Oracle card, the rune. And the rune is Wunyo, which is joy and light. And it says, this rune is a fruit-bearing branch. The term of travail is ended, and you have come to yourself in some regard. The shift that was due has occurred. Now you can freely receive Wunyo's blessings, whether they be in a material gain, in your emotional life, or in a heightened sense of your own well-being. This is an alchemical moment in which understanding is transmuted from knowledge. The knowledge itself was a necessary but not sufficient condition. Now you can rejoice having been carried across the gap by the will of heaven. That's Pisces season. Joyousness accompanies new energy, energy blocked before now. Light pierces the clouds, sun. Light pierces the clouds and touches the waters, just as something lovely emerges from the depths. The soul is illuminated from within at the meeting place of heaven and earth, the meeting of the waters. There is a new clarity, the sun, which may call for you to renounce existing plans, ambitions, goals. It is proper and timely for you to do so, for Wunyo is a rune of restoration of the self properly aligned with the self. Reversed, things are slow in coming to fruition. The process of birth is long and arduous, and fears arise for the safety of the child within. A crisis, a difficult passage, even if brief, is at hand. Consideration and deliberation are called for. Ask yourself whether you possess the virtues of seriousness, sincerity, and emptiness. To possess them is to have tranquility, which is the ground for patience, clarity, and perseverance. Seen in its true light, everything is a test. And so, focused in the present, sincere towards others, and trusting yourself, know that you cannot fail. In times of personal crisis, Wunyo reversed is a useful symbol for meditation. And it is, it's wonderful. The right relationship with self is like where you overcompensate, what you detect, why you've decided you're just that one thing. You're everything. You cannot be everything to everyone, but you go out in the world, you will be a number of different things. So if you're going to be seen as everything anyway, loser, freak, hero, villain, savior, you're going to be all those things, then how you move forward, why? It quietens that. Like, if you're everything, you don't have to decide who you want to be. You just start, you're everything. So it's this, it's the sun. It's the clarity of this is my next best move. And how you'll know is you won't even have a story attached to it. You won't have a story attached to it. Because within yourself, you'll have seen yourself in there. That's the version of you that I'm ready to do this. there's no, not even an outcome of this. That it would be ridiculous. It would be a denial of who you are right now to not do this, whatever it is. And you show up from that place. And, you know, I've had some people message and say, like, but, you know, I don't want to leave my relationship. You don't have to. If you want to, great, right? In fact, Liz, don't worry about it. I'll speak to those people who don't feel like they've got massive changes that they want to make and stuff. You can meet a different version of yourself, you know, in anything that you do. Over the last year and through gardening, I got messages. I was watching lion videos the other day, like documentary ones about these groups of lions. You know, that I got messages through that built on the Leo one. One of my stories, you've heard me say this before, is of being that disruptor, but I'm also the stabilizer. When people are in trouble, they'll come to me because I will help stabilize them. And I think I've always focused so much on the disruptor part and not being the disruptor. It's like if I can just release that and just say, okay, well, I disrupt things, I get it, right? But I love, you know, that thing. I don't think I've cherished it enough that I play that role in so many people's lives. It can be in the same situation. So I would say that to those that are worried that, you know, thinking that, does that mean I have to? Because you hear a lot of people saying in relationships and like, you don't have to. You don't have to, but you can't keep showing up the same way. And even if you do, your why has changed. There's a different awareness of why you do things. Looking at this reading with the chariot coming up in the past, I'll get clarified for it. Chariot is a head and heart balance. Like they're going together, right? To get where you need to go. Well. But this is a theme. We've got the Four of Cups, which is Moon in Cancer, right? This is where we can get stuck. This is if the head's changing and down here, Knight of Swords, and the heart. So you get the head and heart coming up here. The Three of Cups in the future. This person's not happy with the Three of Cups, which is support. And so at the very core level, is this is how I support myself. And this is how I show, this is the only support that I can offer the world in how I show up. Which is to describe your it from your inner blind man, what it is that you feel, and to, not even describe it, I mean in your actions. It's Aries season. So you show up with that feeling, with that whatever. That's what the Three of Cups people do. That's how they support each other. They bring their own cup. They don't try to match each other's cups. They don't try to do anything. They bring their own cup. Take it from me, from my personal experience, that there are people that will even get riled from this. But there are also people that will love this because it's an invitation for them to bring their own cup. So everyone gets to share their experience. There's room for everyone's experience, no matter what that experience might be. But you'll always get someone in this dynamic who starts saying stuff like, you know, but you don't understand my experience. You don't understand what's in my cup. You're not focused on my cup. And it's like, why should I be focused on your cup? I'm bringing my cup. We're creating this thing together. That's how we support each other in being who we are. Even though we have different things in our cup, even though I have no idea what's in your cup, I have no idea. So if we're looking at the head, I mean, you see the black horse and the white horse here, and you see the black pillar and the white pillar. This is how we're engaging, we're taking both forward. But that notion of what we're feeling is. We're looking outside of ourselves to understand our own cup. The Four of Cups says that here. We're looking outside of ourselves, but no one supports me, but no one understands me, but no one, like, the world is not going to do that. You must know what's in your cup. The only one person that needs to know is you. Remember in Pisces season, we looked at this, that what is infinite on the inside has boundaries and becomes so small on the outside. It's not about trying to get bigger on the outside. It's about when we recognize that, then we think, look at someone else and think, well, there's something going on within them, but I can never perceive or know the infinite nature of them because I don't know how to express my own infinite nature. So why would I judge them on the cupful, when there's a whole ocean behind them? It changes our dynamic with people, with things, how we show up, the information that we take in. High Priestess. I'm just going to say with the High Priestess, go check out that Brilliance of the Shadow video, integrating tools. I just linked it on the Discord server. If you're on there, if you want to check it out, I was in general somewhere. I just went nuts this morning, or earlier this afternoon, I think it was. But let's see what this is saying here. So this is feeling stuck. One horse feels stuck. Why? Because it's the difference between the support we get outside and our own cup. And I'm saying that because the Three of Cups is here. Let's see what the High Priestess is saying. Exactly. I absolutely love and adore that we've got the Knight of Swords here, and we've got, well, Prince of Swords and the Knight of Wands. What is the thing they have in common? They are curious optimists. They do not know. If you're a king, like imagine yourself as a king, and you're going to send the knights out, you send them to explore where we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen there. That's why you send a knight. If you know the other king, you will send a diplomat to go talk to them. That's Libra. You're going to send a diplomat to say, hey, go talk to them and stuff. You know, we know them. We want to come to some kind of agreement or contract about this. You send the brave, courageous knights out there because they're going into the unknown. And the Knight of Wands is that, is the adventurer, is the explorer, is going into the unknown. And why can the Knight of Wands do that? Because you have the High Priestess there. You know everywhere you look, you will find yourself. But you know that the questions you ask must be different. It's the openness to new experiences. Now, we're coming in with this. This is not new. We're still not into new territory here. We're ready to do this. We have that urge to explore different things. And yet, if our old process is every time I get this urge to be the Knight of Wands, I'll just give a Sag example. I go learn something new. I go start a new project. I go hang out with a different group of people. I go study a different course, right? If we do that, then the High Priestess says, okay, you can do that. That's temperance. That's why temperance comes up and says, what are you doing with what you already know? Do you need to go learn something new? Are you ready to teach something? Are you ready to start speaking from what you already know of exploring it? In a different way, in your own life, in your own experience, in how you express your energy. So with the Lovers coming up, you see this two come out everywhere, which the two horses, the two pillars, the Lovers, right? The masculine, the divine masculine, the divine feminine, and that union of both. The two are never meant to be the same. And as this card, going beyond normal means you don't need one. You don't need to just be one thing. You don't need to pick just one thing. It is the truth that comes out from the middle. The whole thing, that's the Knight of Swords, that's Gemini energy. The whole thing with the Lovers is not that they get each other. It's how they bear their souls and show up to each other. They're naked. They show up naked with each other to say, this is who I am. And then how they communicate that, how they, through their differences, they communicate to each other, not to convince each other, not to justify anything, but from a purely, from a place of acceptance, surrender, denial, a place of acceptance. Five of Swords is having the last word. It's wanting to win. The Fives came up a lot in the readings. If you guys watch more than one, you'll know this. Agents of Chaos, Five of Swords. So this is a blow to the ego. And that is what is going to come up in Aries season. That's the Aquarius card. It will come up in Aries season. It's conflict will represent our inner conflict. You don't have conflict with everyone. Trust me. Somebody could say something to you. I mean, think of the thing that you are the most confident in yourself. Say you are, you know, the healthiest you've ever been, and you eat good and you diet and you exercise and you do all that stuff. And you're so good on that, right? That is the known. You know this about yourself. So if someone came up to you and said, you're just so fat and unhealthy, you'd laugh. You'd laugh, right? Because there's nothing for that to attach to. Because you just think, why is this person saying this, right? It would feel immature to you. It'd be like a little child saying it, like they're just trying to hurt you, but it just bounces straight off you. So any conflict that you come up with, it is a reflection of your own conflict. Whereas on the other hand, if I'm insecure about something, if I'm insecure about my weight and someone says, even makes a comment that isn't anything to do with my weight, like, you know, oh, what size are those jeans, right? In my head, if someone says to me, what size are those jeans? I might be thinking, oh, shit, do they look too tight? Is that why they're asking? They might be asking because they like them and they want to borrow them. So the Five of Swords is about being very aware of where you come from, what is right for me right now, what is wrong for me right now, what is good, what is bad, reward and punishment, right? That is what the Five of Swords is about. That's what winning at all costs means, that I want to be right at all costs. I want to be good at all costs. It's what the ego has you running for. That if, you know, you need to tell that person, put them in their place, because otherwise you look like, who cares if that person thinks you're an idiot? So that is the mental conflict that comes in. And I'll just share mine, because the Knight of Wands and the Knight of Swords, the person I gave a pep talk to today, I was explaining it to them as well, that I have this kind of rule. If you come to me with curiosity, I will engage. If you have already made a decision about me or anything, more power to you. You've left no room for me to show up in this. You're coming in with the Five of Swords. If you've already just, you can decide whatever you want about yourself. But if you're telling me about where I am, okay, cool. You've already made that decision. People that are curious ask questions. People that are, you know, like they want certainty about where they are, and they've decided, you know, that this is how the world is, because I can only function if I see the world in this way. There's no room for your experience. It's that colouring book analogy that I say, right? They've already coloured it in. They've already coloured in the colours of who you are. So there's nothing to say in those situations. That's this chaos. That's not love. Love is acceptance, seeing someone for who they are. And having a conversation. Remember, Sagittarius and Gemini are both signs of communication. That's the axis of communication, of truth and meaning. What are we focused on? The wheel of fate is turning. It's the wheel of fortune that comes up there. Whoa. Wow. That's going to be talking about risks. That's going to be talking about what we value. The devil is in the detail. The devil is in the detail. And the devil comes up. So consider this, right? The lovers and the devil, two sides of the same coin. You know, I always say that. And it's the lovers that are bound here. And how did the lovers get bound? You know, think about that. They started off talking to each other open, naked. Like she's looking away here, and I don't know where the hell he's looking. They're bound. This usually comes from an addiction to feeling good. Like the devil is not about feeling bad. It's temptation. It's the easy option. It's doing it, there's no boldness or courage needed. The devil says to you, there's no other options. You don't need to do anything else. You're fine. You know, just scrap this, do this, start this, whatever. It's done. Then you're cool. And why? It's to allow you to maintain a sense of feeling, to maintain whatever the love was, because, you know, everything evolves and changes. And anyone that's ever been in any kind of a relationship for any length of time, you know, there are ups and downs in relationships. There'll be ups and downs with your relationships with people as well. There was a late, I forget her name. I think her first name was Gigi. I haven't watched her in about 5 years, and this was like a long time ago. It was recommended to me because I was talking a lot about relationships, and she did a relationship one. And she said that she believes that all relationships have four steps to them. And she, I don't know, I don't remember the one, two, and three, which is like, you know, maybe we love each other, and then whatever happens. And then we get to a point where we get on each other's nerves, right? Excuse me. We're ready to evolve. And she goes, that's the part where people need space from each other, not to be bound together, not to do whatever. Whether that's a weekend away, whether that's, you know, every Friday night, you know, you go have your night out with the girls or whatever, right? That space is important. That air must always flow between people in relationships. And I always remembered that, because the point that she made was that if every couple did that, and with awareness that, like, both people need to be aware of this dynamic, otherwise that's how people get stuck in narcissistic relationships. Like, they're doing the work, the understanding this, but the narcissist isn't, right? So that's where if the lovers hasn't happened, then we're in devil territory because they've been open about this. They know that they're committed to the relationship. They're committed to showing up fully. And so what she said was, she goes, any relationship can survive. Like she was making the point that people wouldn't get divorced and stuff. This is not a criticism. This is the future thing. And I really see that. I mean, I've had breakups, right? And they were all perfect, the way they needed to be. But if there's a new evolution happening in relationships, which I believe there is, and how we relate to each other, then what relationships would need to end if we were all coming at relationships from this perspective? Of this understanding that we're going to have this time where we're totally loved up, this time when we totally are enjoying talking to each other, this time where we're on the same page, but then this time when we're not on the same page. And I need to take a step back and think, okay, well, how have I changed or what's happened? What's the dynamic? What's happened within me? Then we reconnect again and start again, getting to know each other, the new versions of each other. That could go on forever. No relationship would ever get old. And I think that's part of this new era, new dynamics as we move forward. What we did was right for where we were. That's the Wheel of Fortune, but it's not for where we're going. And where does that come in? The aversion to risks, right? That's the Seven of Swords. What is worth the risk? Now, here, if you see the Seven of Swords, I'm going to say this. I know I say it a lot, but it feels necessary for this one. The guy is running off with the Five of Swords. There's the Five of Swords. So when these cards come up together, they have to tell a very specific story. The Five of Swords is winning. The Five of Swords is peace out. I'm out. This is ghosting people. This is getting the hell out of there. This is I'm gone. Why? Because I win the argument by doing that. I'd have to challenge myself to stay in this relationship. And I don't mean with people. I mean your relationship with food, your relationship with whatever. You know, the devil talks about where we're stuck. Breaking the chains. But the Five of Swords is I win, but it's an empty victory. And why does the person run off with the Five of Swords? So they don't have to face the conflict, the internal conflict, the two questions, the two truths. That's Libra. The Two of Swords is Moon in Libra. So think about that. And it will be very easy around this lunar eclipse to pick the winning option, the one that you know. I don't have to deal with this then. I don't have to deal with the conflict that's going to come up around this. I'm not saying that we should throw ourselves in. I mean, I'm more than likely to do that, but I'm very kind of reckless and risk-based and stuff. But not everyone is. And I get that. The five blind men, right? We're all going to see different things and want different things and we prefer different things. But if you do that for long enough, remember with that Seven of Swords, that's our first red, it's our first warning about our behavior, is if we are risk averse. If we are just okay, I'm not getting anything else out of this, I'm out, right? If we stop do that for long enough, I just don't want to. I'm choosing not to. It's about choice. That turns into the Eight of Swords. The Eight of Swords then is I can't. I don't want to turns into I can't. Then I can't turns into the Nine of Swords, which is oh, then you're afraid. Well, what if that happens? Because I didn't want to, now I don't know how to. Or I feel like I don't know how to, I can't do anything. And now I'm afraid anxiety, right? What if that comes up in the future? What if I have to do that in the future? And then it turns into the Ten of Swords where it takes us out because there's no way to avoid anything forever. You cannot avoid abandonment. You cannot avoid being hurt. You cannot avoid loss. Because we all die. That's why the Ten of Swords is that. We will all lose someone, something, ourselves in our lives. And so, and even if you decide to go live by yourself, a hermit on a mountain, right? Your garden's not always going to be green. The weather will take things out. The flowers are not always going to be blooming. So this is the first one. It says, "What is?" That's why I say, "What is worth the risk? What would you take a risk for?" Rather than, say no to everything. Well, I don't want to do that. The devil is in the details. Page of Pentacles is it's what do you value? What are your core values here about yourself? How you move forward, because that's what this person takes into wherever, whatever land they go, right? And so, with the devil coming up, there's a release of this. This is a chain breaking. This is a release, a freedom, a liberation to go forward. So, what do we focus on with the sun? literally just looked up at the time and it was 4444. How long this had been recording when I did that. And it won't be up for you guys because you've got a little intro bit that changes it. But on mine, it is that. Knight of Swords again. Exactly this, right? So you got the Knight of Swords coming up. That's the way forward. Come on. Four of Wands, which is an Aries card. Oh, how did this move? Let's get one more. Death, exactly. So what is the Knight of Swords, right? So if this is the creativity, the broadening of horizons, the explorer, I'm going to go try. And you've tried it. It's in the past. It's coming in with this underlying energy. This dynamic is taking action based on our beliefs. So the Page of Pentacles talks to our values and what matters to us. And the little things that are beyond, like, and no one else will see those details. You see them in your life. You know what matters to you. So we're not looking for that. So if you think about the Knight of Wands is out exploring, is the Knight of Wands looking for something? Because the Knight of Swords is expressing it in his words, in that how his beliefs infuse what he goes forward with, that what he will explore mentally and, you know, logically, rationally, even all of those things. This person's looking for something. He may not know he's looking for something, but think of Sag energy. It's always like, where's the target? What am I aiming for? What's going on over there? This is more expressive. This is my truth. I'm going to go express my truth. I'm going to live for my truth out in my world, out in the world. And I mean, death is coming up with this. So this is what's changed. How has what in your own life, how has the idea of potential changed, of where you see potential? This is joy. This is what that root, that wunyo is, right? Joy and light. That's the sun. This is childlike joy. Would a kid tell you why they like something, right? When they're excited and they're thinking, would you sit them down and say, okay, kid, but why do you like this? Can you write me an essay on why you like that toy and stuff? Now, in the immediate moment when the kid likes the thing, it likes it. And it we might, and even as human beings, if you think about it, it's the lovers, right? The lovers and the devil are both illusions. This is the illusion of a choice. This is the illusion that there is no choice. So the sun is that childlike, when you just feel joy, you feel light, you feel amazing from the idea of doing something, even if you aren't doing it. And if I said to you, you know, why do you like, I don't know, whatever songs you like or music you like or tarot or astrology or whatever, you can come up with a reason for it, a justification. I'm not talking about that. In yourself, feel that. That's what where you want to be motivated from. Before your brain kicks in and talks you into it or out of it. Like, you know, this is beyond that. This is that moment of that feeling. Then you speak from that feeling. You don't speak about that feeling. You speak from that feeling. Does that distinction clear? So, you know, whatever I'm saying here, right? I could give you from the feeling, it's like, oh, because I love the tarot and I've done it for a long time and I'm good at it, you know, and I help people and all of that. No, that's speaking about the feeling. Me doing the reading, me, the way that I interact with my family, the way that I interact with my friends, that is me from that feeling. How I speak, the things that I choose, what I'm going to go and do, the things that I write, that interest me, how I respond to, you know, people that love me, how I respond to people that hate me, right? That is speaking from that energy. It is a celebration of how far you've come. It's not an abandonment of how far you've come. It's not a change from how far you've come. It is from that. It's, I've become this because of this. This is my foundation. Whatever I've done, good, bad, ugly, win or lose, whatever's happened, I speak my truth freely because I have this solid foundation. it's an expression of my change. It's an expression of how I speak from that place, not about it. And that's what, if you guys know, and I talked about this last year, like when I made my decisions around personal readings and the rest of it. And it's one of the things that I've been saying for a while, even like a year before that. So maybe the last couple of years, is I am a spiritual person, right? You know, so if you just want to say the sun is your spirituality, I am a spiritual person. Like I feel that within myself. But that means I could be a baker and still be spiritual. That means I could still, you know, I could do anything. It's about infusing that in. And I know that's my own path, and that's, I've talked about that, and a lot of the examples I give are about the marriage of heaven and earth. That's why I'm a big believer in that. And I think that's going to be a bigger theme come Pisces North Node. Like, you know, that's going to come after Aries North Node. It will be that, the marriage of heaven and earth. That if we believe these things, Pisces, then how do we incorporate that into our physical reality? Virgo, a little bit of a heads up of what's to come. But it won't be enough. Do you see, with the North Node in Pisces, I'm kind of excited about that dynamic. It won't be enough just to change your job or to change your routine and stuff, which is what Virgo would usually do. It's the infusion of that. It's now an expansion of our connection with the heaven part. So it comes in more. And that's kind of what this is. Let's look at the Three of Cups. You guys have heard me say this for a very long time, that, you know, it's not, I don't really care what people do or say or whatever, right? But I want to know why. That interests me so much, even within myself. Like, you know, I could do anything. And recently I've made a number of decisions, and it was important to talk about them, to express them, to speak from that place. But it didn't necessarily mean I had to go do it. Because I'd made my peace in it and just thinking about it, accepting it, owning it, speaking it, showing up as the lovers. And I know a lot of people around me have been doing the same thing. Look at this. Nine of Cups. Eight of Cups. And the Eight of Pentacles, right? Talking about Pisces and Virgo, and they come up. So the Three of Cups is you showing up with your cups. It's platonic energy. It's energy of support, of sharing, of, you know, that this is how I feel. It's bringing your cup to the table. It's community. It's networks. It's, you know, it's the more emotional part of the Three of Pentacles, which is that physically we have these skills and we're building for the future. But the Three of Cups is how we're supporting ourselves into the future, into going forward and who we are. When we talk about, well, I don't want to do this anymore, or I'm not going to do that, or that person sucks, or, and I don't know who I said this for, it was in one of the readings, where I've noticed there's a lot of people changing. You know, there's people that went to tarot and stuff who've found God now, right? There's people that were religious and they've taken a more spiritual approach. Maybe it was Pisces I talked this about. Would it be fitting if it was? But anyway. That do that, which Nine of Cups, tell me about why you're grateful for this. Tell me why it speaks to your heart. Tell me about how much you love tarot. Tell me about how much you adore God now, or your relationship with the divine. Three of Cups, that show up from that place. Tell me about this new person that you love. Tell me about what you love. Tell me about how it fills your heart, how grateful you are, the gift that you have received, the beauty of the vision, the wish, the clarity, all of that. Tell me about that. Because what the Eight of Cups is saying here, if it truly is the Eight of Cups, if you're truly done with it, there really isn't anything to leave. Because the Eight of Cups is, I'm emotionally done with this. And so if you're still stood there describing the Eight Cups, you haven't walked away from them. The Eight of Cups, it's often seen as like walking away from a situation, but it's cups. It may lead to us walking away from situations, but the difference here is the person leaves the Eight Cups to find the Nine of Cups. So we focus on the Nine of Cups because there's a cup missing here. So we can't bring the missing cup. So think about when we interact with each other, when we have a relationship with money or whatever, we want to talk to it, or we want to engage with it from a Nine of Cups place, not the Eight of Cups place. Because the Eight of Cups is, I was emotionally invested in this. I'm not anymore. It doesn't mean anything to me. So why would I stand here looking at eight cups that don't mean anything to me? I'm going to walk off and go find my ninth cup, or be with my ninth cup, or express my ninth cup. So be mindful in your interactions with people. Be mindful in when you are making choices in your life, right? Or of what to do next or whatever. Because if it's anything about, you know, well, I don't really like this anymore or whatever, that's the Seven of Swords. That's the I don't want to. This is the I want to. This is who I am. This is what makes my heart sing. And you will be a joy to be around. Doesn't matter what you talk about. You will be a joy. And you will also not be a joy. It's true, two sides of justice, right? You won't be, because there will be other people that are triggered. There are other people that will feel the pressure to also do that. There will be people who will feel like you're calling them hypocrites or critics or negative just from you being, but you're not calling them that. You are expressing your wish. You are expressing your heart's desire. You are expressing what you love. Now I just saw 5544. I don't usually do the numbers thing if you guys know me, but it feels like it today. Eight of Pentacles, what are you focused on? What are you working on? What are you building? Now, I'm going to say this, and this is usually the part that I get the most pushback on, and it's cool. It's cool. I'm not trying to say you're right or wrong in that. Three of Cups coming up here is, this is about sharing. We're not hiding any of this. We are coming forward and sharing our wishes, our heartfelt desires, our visions, what we love, what we're grateful for. Because the Eight of Cups, we would never talk about, because it's gone. We keep it alive. Remember the sun. What you focus on is what will grow as the sun. So then there's focus. What are you focused on? What are you growing? And you will see that in your energy as you take it out there in the world, but also Knight of Swords, in what you talk about, in how you engage in conversation, in what's going on with that. I'll give an example of this. So I was watching a video and I cannot tell you how much I disagree with what this person was saying, right? And that's novel for me, because I don't really agree or disagree with anyone. Now, I could leave it at that. I could say, well, this person's talking shit, I'm out, right? I'm not going to watch this person's videos anymore, which I didn't. I thought, okay, so if that is not your truth, what this person is describing, right, the tail of the elephant or the leg of the elephant, what are you, how do you balance that with what is your truth, the trunk of the elephant? Like, what's in front of you then? How do you share that, the balance of it? And then how do I feel, High Priestess, how do I feel about the fact that this is my truth? And I told you what came up for me was a fear of being seen as egotistical, a fear of me, it's a self-judgment, because I had thoughts like, this kind of shit I left behind in 2016. And then it was like, oh shit, then maybe I'm trying to say that this person's behind me and I don't think they're behind me. But why would it mean that? That's the Eight of Cups. That's the shit that has been left behind. And the truth of it, if I come from, to, I'm just doing it right now on the fly, if I do see it from a Nine of Cups point of view, is I think my way, or the way that I view, is more loving, more encompassing. It is not divisive. It is more accepting. It welcomes all viewpoints. It doesn't exclude people. And then we get closer through that way of finding a dynamic that works for everyone, that moves everyone forward. The step after the Five of Swords, right? And when we get stuck here, or what's missing here, Six of Swords, we're all in the same boat. Either we all get there or no one does. It's that simple. Now, that doesn't mean we all get there in the same state, and wherever the there is, right? There is always going to be in the future. I haven't done the talk yet, I've been too busy, but part of the whole the Age of Aquarius part is, the Age of Aquarius works best, and we're at the best time here, where it's in the future, where we are perfecting the process of embracing our individuality, expressing our individuality, and then how we react to each other's individuality. Little side note, I know some of you heard me say this before, side note of a side note is, if AI becomes a thing, or, you know, more of a thing than it already is, if tomorrow all of our every single detail is revealed to everyone online, if that AI can be used to make up any shit about anyone, right? So there's a video of me with my face, my head, my voice saying the most outrageous things, the most racist things, the most, you know, there's videos of me doing vile things and stuff. And they're all created by AI. If we respond the way that we respond now, there are millions, if not billions, of innocent people that we are about to shit on because we were unable to respond in a loving way, even in the most vile of things, in the vile of situations. When we're focused on, this is the material earth part, we're focused on, oh no, we need to stop AI from doing this, or we need to get rid of that. You know, that cat is out of the bag. Like, that's done now. There's no bringing that back. AI is on its way and it's doing its thing. But it means the way we engage with truth, the way we engage with our truth, must change. And I'm in that collective illusions video that I did, remember, where I talked about that. We can do that now. We can fake things now. There are people out there making videos of like influencers and stuff, or pictures of them where they're naked or they're doing like vile things. I'm not, and the thing is, in understanding that, we're not condoning it, but we know that we must react differently because we don't know what is the truth. We don't know what we're seeing, if it's real or not, and that's part of this. So the way we react to truth, how we come forward from our own truth, it must be different. It must be different. That's ultimately where we're going with all of this. That's going to be, I think, that part of that's being dredged up. And it'd be interesting to see in 9 years' time, when the North Node will be in Libra and the South Node would be in Aries, that maybe it'll take us 9 years to figure it out as we go forward to that. And hey, I'm Aquarian Insight. That's what I do. I look at the future. I have a vision of the future. I see the patterns of where things could be going. I don't have to. And that's what I see. And I realize that the dynamics of what we do now, they determine that. 9 years from now, when North Node is in Libra, right, the bloody who knows what will happen by then. What we do now has an impact on that. What we did 9 years ago, some of us are still living that. We're still married to that. We're still slaving away at that job. Like, what we did 9 years ago, it's impacting our life now. So why would what we do right now not impact us in 9 years? This is the stuff we must become clearer on. It's not enough just to, oh, well, this feels good right now, or do whatever. There's a greater dynamic that is coming in. All we can do is add perspective to each other. That's all I aim to do. I will sit here and explain the trunk of the elephant, or the side of the elephant, or the leg of the elephant. Every week, week in, week out, I will do that. No matter what else I go forward and do. All right, let's see what the Knight of Swords is saying. So what are you focused on? I knew it. Knew Hierophant was going to come up. Breaking with tradition, guys. And it must be that. Like, think about it right now, okay? So say you've got some really atrocious things, you know, the whole Me Too movement that came out with celebrities and stuff like that. You know, they get cancelled, their shows get cancelled, and they do whatever, right? And so there's this thing of, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, right? Some people can distinguish the art from the artist. Other people can't. Fair enough, right? That's how we are. But if without evidence, without trials, without anything, we make decisions about people, we're like, I'm cancelling my Netflix thing. I'm not going to watch that show anymore, or do whatever, right? But there's all... you know, there's all these different truths and stuff out there. That knee-jerk reaction doesn't work. Our instincts must change, and we're doing it in Aries. That knee-jerk reaction, that we call that instinct, we call that intuition, we call that, you know, that is my nature, that, you know, I cannot support someone who's done this to women or children or whatever. We do that. But we are coming into an era where you don't actually know if that person has done that. Well, that will be, everything gets weaponized because we do that, right? We weaponize the truth. We weaponize spirituality. We weaponize whatever, like physical bodies or our opinions. Or we weaponize it. We weaponize the downvote button. We weaponize, you know, social media. Because we live in a world where we are allowing a mass kind of war complex, like, you know, that's a part of it. So that's why we do it, because it's part of our solutions, is what we allow out in the world. There's wars going on right now. Each of us is responsible for that. So it's the, at a core level, and I'm using all these examples, but at a core level, our instinct of what we do with it. You don't have to go and read about it. Like, I think a lot of people would just get tired of that. What we consume is a part of the problem. I mean, in the UK, if anyone knows about this, we've had that Princess Catherine, Kate Middleton. I know a lot of Americans call her Kate. Well, they didn't know who I was talking about when I was saying Catherine. Thing that happened with her. And so much of a circus and stuff. She's ill. Her first priority is getting better and making sure that her kids are okay as she's dealing with this. That she needs them to know that mummy's here, mummy's gonna get better, I've got you, right there. But no, the rest of the world's not saying that there was an attempt to hack into her medical records. Now, we can call those people that hack into the medical records vile. We participate in that, in our glee to know what's happening with certain people. That's a very extreme example, but we do that day to day. You might do that with people that you view on YouTube. I'm not feeling this, I'm out of here, or whatever. How we support one another and don't support one another is a massive theme. And the criteria that we use, right? The criteria that we use to do that, that is changing. But it can only change on a collective level if we change it on an individual personal level. And I know I wish I could get more specific than that. That's why I've given so many examples, is because you are figuring that out for yourself in your life right now within your own relationship dynamics. We don't all have the same relationship dynamics. So we've got the Knight of Swords. We've got the Hierophant, which is tradition, stability. These are the rules. Well, my friend, the rules are changing. Ace of Pentacles, commitment. You know what? I've just felt this kind of wash of beautiful energy come over me as this Empress and Ace of Pentacles come out. Because this is exactly this. This is what is coming up over here. Empress is Venus as well. The Knight of Swords here. So what's changed? We've got the Knight of Swords over here. This is around, this is what I love. This is the potential. But, and I speak from that place, not about that place. I speak from that place because things have changed. It's long term transformation of death and rebirth. This is the new birth that's coming up. I say that it is about birth because Empress and the Sun and the Rune said that as well. Have a look here now. So the advice is the Prince of Swords. Take action based on your beliefs from your own truth. And remember, you don't always know what your truth is. You know what your truth is right now, and you're also developing and learning from your new truth. Check out the Dunning-Kruger effect if you haven't already. That, you know, those that don't really know anything are always the most confident about what they know. Those that know loads are usually the ones that are not confident. So this is it's an exploration of truth. Be willing to contradict yourself. Be willing to change your mind. I've said that from when I first started doing podcasts, that I hope I contradict myself. I don't, you know, that whole notion of, oh my God, 10 years ago you said this, and it's like, so that stuff is not compelling to me because I change, my views change. So why would other people's not change? The world around us changes. Remember, being normal, it changes. So what was acceptable to say 10 years ago may not be now. So where are we speaking from? We recognize that because we know what our why is, our rules of engagement change. The rules of engagement are changing. Those which were traditional, they're not anymore. That's going beyond normal. So how do we speak from this place? We speak about where we see potential. We speak about what we are committed to. We speak to what we are trying to nurture and grow. We speak and we show up from a place of what we hold space for. Don't worry about what doesn't work, what isn't going your way, that's Eight of Cups, done with that. This is about what you support, what you nurture, what you're nurturing, what you're birthing into the world. If you can do that mindfully going forward in all your relationships and whatever relationship there is, you will realize where I don't really have anything in this that I'm trying to nurture and grow, right? Eight of Cups. You'll know that yourself. And it will just slip away. There's nothing to nurture and grow there. It will just slip away. There's no like, oh God, I need to like run away from this because of whatever. There's no conflict. All that remains is what fills your heart. All that remains is that which you're focused on building and growing. All that remains is what you're nurturing and birthing into the world. Try that and see. I love this reading. Could you tell how fired up I was? My jaw is like, I don't know, I can just feel it in physically, this reading. I can feel it in my whole being. Please let me know how you get on with this. Please support me, right? And if it's like you're like, whatever, cool. I'm talking to the people that would like to support me. You can do that by leaving a comment wherever you are. You can do that by sharing this with someone. You can do that by coming and hanging out on the Discord server, and not by support. You can support everyone, other people who are in this. There's links in the description to all this. You can make a donation if that's what you would like to do to help me to keep the lights on, to help me to keep doing this work. Whatever it is, I would appreciate your support. I promise to continue showing up and supporting you guys in the way that I know. I'll keep talking about the part of the elephant that I see, and I encourage you to do the same wherever you go about in the world. I love you guys. I will see you next time, but that's all for now. Goodbye.